Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and as always, it's a blessing and an honor to be with you on today. God is good. Oh, yes, God is good and worthy to be praised. And we just have to remember that no matter what you're going through, you have to know that God is good. This is Woman to Woman, and you have tuned into Straight Talk with Pastor Rebecca Simmons, Woman to Woman, where we will be dealing with a lot of the stuff that we have to deal with as women. And I have a lot of super spiritual shows where I bring forth the word. I believe in the word of God. I believe that there is power in the word. But I also believe that there's a problem in the world with women who feel like that they have to be victims and that they have to go through stuff that is not good, that's not healthy for them. And it's up to me to begin to talk about some of these things. And I just wanted to come, God put it upon my heart, impressed it upon my heart to come and do straight talk. When we're talking, and we're talking straight, we're not going to speak in circles. I don't want to talk in circles. I don't believe that that's effective. I don't believe it's effective to begin to talk in circles about some very real issues that need to be dealt with. Some of us are living in dysfunction. And we need to deal with that dysfunction. We need to know that it's not normal to live the way that some of us are living. So that's why I'm here with Power in the Word, and I'm joined by Lady Renee, who has been a blessing since the Lord gave me this vision. She has been a blessing, and she's committed to be here every single week. And so far, she has stood true to that commitment, so I'm just blessed by her. And today we're going to be talking about a hot topic, and get ready. Call somebody. Go and call some of your girlfriends and tell them to get on the internet and listen to this live program, and they may even need to call in. Some people might need to call in and talk to myself and talk to Lady Renee about this issue of abuse. What's up? What's up? What's up with abuse is what we're asking today, and the call-in number is 646-652-4832. And again, we're not playing. We are not playing. Ever since I decided that I was going to go forward with this ministry and go back to the roots of dealing with women's ministry and talking to women about some of these issues, I personally have been under attack. But, you know, I'm okay. I'm all right. Don't worry about me. I'm a trooper. I'm a trooper, amen. And I'm just going to do what God told me to do. No holds barred, no holding back, no pulling back. I'm moving forward. Amen. Amen. So I want to welcome Lady Renee to the program. Lady Renee, welcome to Women to Women.
Thank you. Praise God.
God bless you. God bless you. How are you today?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
The same. I'm not holding back. I've been under attack.
Yes.
And I preached this last week. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of the devil.
Yes, amen.
Because I serve a God who's more powerful than any enemy that could come against me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, yes. Praise God.
Praise God. So we're going to be talking about this issue of abuse today, and I want to go ahead and open with prayer. Lady Renee, can you just open us in prayer so that we can just move forward? We want to invite the Holy Spirit to rule and reign here.
Yes.
We want to go in the wisdom of God and just cover this time in prayer.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, Lord, and we just thank you for just this opportunity, Lord God. We ask that you would have your way, Lord God, that, Father God, that the very words that would come out of our mouths would be the very oracles of you, Lord God. We ask, O God, that you would move on our hearts, Lord, that our hearts would be filled with compassion, Father God, but at the same time, Lord God, that we would bring forth your word with precision and clarity, O God. We cover each and every person that that will listen to the sound of our voices, Lord God. With the blood of Jesus Christ, we cover ourselves and all that concerns us, oh God. We cover and saturate the airways right now with the blood of Jesus Christ. For Father God, we know that wherever the blood has been applied, oh God, the wicked one cannot penetrate, Father God. So, Father, we just give you praise, oh God. I thank you for the hearts and the minds of the people being prepared to receive this word on today. I thank you, Lord, that their hearts will be good ground, oh God, and it would bring forth, your word will bring forth fruit in their lives to your praise, glory, and honor. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Yes,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
we
Holy
worship
Spirit.
You, Lord.
Yes, we
oh,
welcome
God,
you.
You're worthy.
And we invite you, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Oh,
amen.
Hallelujah.
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 And again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons with Lady Renee, and you're listening to Woman to Woman. Today we're going to be dealing with a very touchy topic in the church and in the world. We're going to be dealing with abuse. And the Lord put this upon my heart because, as we all know, that there's been in the news a story about a well-known televangelist being abused,
yes.
And it's still, you know, the story's still unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is not about that. This is about you who are tuning in, who know that you are in relationships that are not God's best for you, and you may find yourself having to fight your way out of certain situations. And we want to talk to that. I wrote a book about 2 years ago, actually it was 2005, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. And one of the things that I wrote about in that book is abuse. I wrote about abuse, and I also wrote a book, Nobody's Business, and I wrote about abuse in that book. So abuse is something that's very dear and near to my heart, to be able to rebuke that in the lives of the women who will tune in to this particular program, and every woman that I can talk to let them know, to let you all know, and to let anybody that you know that's being abused, they need to know that they're better than that and that no woman deserves to be beaten.
Yes, amen.
No woman deserves to be beaten. No woman deserves to be kicked or thrown on the floor. No woman deserves to be abused. You're better than that. God created you in his image. And that means that you are just like God. You are worthy of honor and respect.
Amen.
So we have to just go through some of the steps. I know there's a problem. And Lady Renee, when I minister, I know that there's a problem. I always try to come up with a solution.
Yes, yes, amen, amen. Amen.
And I love your ministry, Lady Renee, and this is not to flatter you. I'm not into flattery.
No, me either.
I have a prophecy over my life to just move beyond that, you know,
amen.
Just to lead.
Amen.
I'm called to lead, and I'm not into flattery, but I love your ministry. I love your ministry because you have the heart of God. So I want you just for a few minutes to speak to and about the nature of abuse. Why do women even find themselves? Why do we find ourselves, Lady Renee, in abusive relationships?
Well, you know, as I always state, it's really about your foundation. You know, we truly gravitate toward what is familiar to us, and that's something that has been revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. If you grew up in an abusive environment, you know, that became normal to you. So when you become an adult, you now of age where, you know, now it's time for you to begin, when you start dating and all, you will find that you tend to be attracted to people that have those same familiar patterns. So in other words, if, like I said, if you came from a home where your dad or stepdad or whoever was really abusive, then chances are you will wind up in an abusive situation as well, even though while you were growing up, you hated it. But it's something that you internalize through going through this process, like watching your mom or whoever was your caretaker, you know, being abused, whether it was verbal or physical. So it's something that you're rather comfortable with. It's a conditioning, and it goes down deep, even to your subconscious, that you're not aware of it, that you tend to push away somebody that may mean you well, but then you'll gravitate toward the person that's going to be disrespectful toward you. You'll gravitate toward the person that's going to abuse you physically 9 times out of 10 just out of sheer familiarity. You don't even realize why you're choosing the person that you're choosing. So my thing is, it's a foundational thing, and God wants to set us free so that we don't have to continue in the same patterns that we came from.
Amen. 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 Praise God. And that is just so powerful. That's what I love about the ministry, because you just really get down to the, like you said, the foundation of the behavior. And all of the time, need to get to the root of why am I allowing myself to be in a relationship with this person that does not honor me. This person does not honor me. He's not treating me right. But not only is he not treating me right, but he's putting his hands on me,
yeah,
and he's hurting me. And let me just say this, love does not hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Love does not hurt to the point where you have black eyes and bruises.
Yeah.
Love is not abusive. Love is not abusive. And there's a whole chapter in the Bible, in the book of Corinthians, 1
yes.
Corinthians chapter 13, about love.
Yes, yes, yes.
About love. And we need to realize what real love is. Love is not that stuff that you're watching on the soap operas.
No, no, not at all.
Do you watch soap operas, Lady Renee?
No, but I have.
What is that?
Basically, it's a bunch of garbage, because
yes,
it has you be looking for something that doesn't exist.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. I grew up in a home where soap operas was on my TV every day when I came home
mm-hmm.
from school.
Mm-hmm. Me
so
too.
I grew up with Erica.
Mm-hmm.
Erica
uh-huh.
Kane. Amen.
Yes.
And I believe she's still on All My Children. But I grew up with that. And
uh-huh.
I believe that love was... Every time I saw her or saw those characters on that soap opera, somebody was cheating
yes.
on their spouse, not even
yes.
their spouse, their boyfriend or their girlfriend.
Right.
Somebody
right.
was lying. Someone
yes.
was getting slapped for
it
being
all,
caught with somebody
uh-huh.
else's man or somebody else's woman. They were fighting.
Yes. Uh-huh. Exactly.
And I began to be... to believe somebody was crying and depressed
mm-hmm.
because of a relationship that went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to believe that that's what love was about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I began to pattern my own relationships. Let me tell you how bad it got for me.
Mm.
I would walk home from school, Lady Renee,
uh-huh.
and I would make up these stories where I was the main character, and some man was always cheating on me, and I was catching him, and I was slapping him for cheating, and then his best friend was looking at me, and I was getting into a relationship with his best friend, and my life became those visualizations.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That my life became the soap operas that I watched and the soap operas that I created in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to live this stuff out, Lady Renee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because we become whatever we beholding.
My God.
Believe it or not. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, that's the very power of the word right there. That's why he tells us to meditate in the word, because we'll begin to transform into it. You know what
Amen.
I'm saying? Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Mm. Praise God. And not only that, but there was, like you said, that foundation of dysfunction that
yes.
was going on. And the thing about it is my parents fought,
mm-hmm.
and my mother knows that I tell this testimony because
mm-hmm.
it's in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Is in the cry of a woman's heart. My parents fought,
mm-hmm.
and I never saw my father hit my mother. Mm-hmm. But I did see my mother wear shades, and I thought she was being cool. But
right.
she was really covering the black eye.
Right.
And I did hear them in the next room from my bedroom when I was trying to sleep. I heard them yelling and cursing and rumbling around in there. So, again, that became a part of my reality when I started getting into relationships. It wasn't so much that I picked abusive men that wanted to hit me, but I thought something was wrong with them if they didn't want to fight.
Oh, my goodness. Can I just interject right
there? Yes.
That same thing happened to me. When I was growing up, you know, I grew up alongside my mom's sisters, my aunts, who are basically like we're in the same age category. So, and some of them were older, maybe have me 5 years, 7 years, 9 years, something like that. But nevertheless, these were the people that, you know, I want to say that that socialized me in the area of relationship. And they were all being abused. They would all have boyfriends that were really possessive and jealous. So, you know, in other words, they couldn't be coming out of another man's car. The neighbor couldn't have been giving them a ride to the store and, you know, without them hiding that from the boyfriend. So when it was my turn and I'm finding that my boyfriend is not jealous, I have a problem with that. He don't love me. So I would, in turn, begin to do things to get a reaction of jealousy.
Uh-huh.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How sick and twisted that is because of how I was socialized about relationships from, you know, my beginnings. Love is supposed to, if somebody loves you, you know, they're supposed to be possessive. They're supposed to be jealous. Oh, my God, what a stronghold.
That
you
is
know,
so
for real.
And it's real, and it is real because both of us experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did both of us experience that, but a lot of people that are tuning in are also going through or have gone through the same dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
When we think that love means you have to be always controlling me and jealous and scared that I'm going to cheat on you, that really, that's not love. It's not love.
And I tell you, Pastor Rebecca, you know, based on what you're saying about love, you know, you're so right. But I also sense that I have to bring this. See, it outside of God, it's almost impossible to really love, or should I say our love will be limited because we don't have the ability to love unconditionally outside of God because the eros, which is the God kind of love, is only available to us when we get born again. So therefore, when we're in the world and we're having relationships, the only access to love that we have is the phileo love, which is that friendship kind of love, and the eros love. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I'm talking about the agape love. We don't have the access to the agape love outside of God, but the only loves we have access to outside of God are the eros and the phileo. And as you know, when things get rough, as they always do, those two forms of love are not going to be enough to sustain you when you're going through. Because you have to, when someone hurts you, which often is going to happen in a relationship, because sometimes things are designed to strengthen you and bring you closer to each other and closer to God. But the truth of the matter is you're going to need to be able to love unconditionally so that you can be able to forgive your partner or, you know, whatever. And that love is only made available through the agape kind of love, and we don't even have access to that. So no wonder these relationships that we're talking about are so very dysfunctional to begin with. You follow
excellent.
What I'm saying?
Because
yes, we're missing a piece,
point.
You know?
Yeah, excellent point. And I just want to just really say this. This is so important because what you're saying is significant that we have to, and I want to acknowledge the people in the chat room, and Hour to Empower is there, and also Author Brian O. Lynch, I believe is the name. And I just want to acknowledge you there and say welcome to the program. And Hour to Empower posted a comment here. Mm. Excellent topic. I grew up in an abusive home and somehow ended up in an abusive relationship. And she says, keep up the good work. And that's the thing that we were talking about earlier, growing up in abuse and beginning to repeat the patterns of abuse, which is really dysfunction. I mean, we begin to receive dysfunctional relationships as the norm.
Right.
And I said that now I want to go back to say that even with unconditional love, you have to be careful with that agape love, the kind of love that God gives us, because God does love us unconditionally.
Oh, yes.
And he commands us. This is something that God says, that we should love him first.
Yes,
love God first with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength.
Yes.
Because if you're loving God like that, then that's a vertical love that you're giving to God. God's going to love you back. He already loves you before you can love him. But then he gives you an awareness of who you are. I believe that God begins to reveal to you when you start to love on him. He begins to reveal to you how precious and how valuable you are to him.
Yes.
And then you begin to become validated by God instead of validated by these people that you're running around getting into the wrong relationship with.
Amen.
Amen. So, but with unconditional love, see, this is the problem. This is the problem in the church, that we're telling these women, and a lot of these women are being counseled to keep loving and keep forgiving. The thing about it is, you can love. You can keep loving if you want to, but you better be loving yourself first. And that's something that we do. We don't do. We go out looking for love in all of the wrong places. We're not loving God. We're not loving ourselves. And then we try to put all of this love on the wrong man. This is a show for women, so we're talking about women in dysfunctional, abusive relationships. We begin to love a man who's abusive to us, and now we're loving that man unconditionally. And he does not deserve that love.
No, he does not.
There's no way.
Yeah, and that's not when I mentioned when I the only reason, because let me say this, you know, because people are listening. When I talk about the unconditional love, the agape kind of love, that's in no form or fashion meaning that you should stay somewhere where you are being abused, because you can still love someone and forgive them and get away from them, because you have to. Your life may depend on it. So I'm not condoning that. When I say loving unconditionally, that's even being able to go to yourself. A lot of times, like you mentioned, being able to love as we're loving on God, and how that love is vertical, and how we begin to get validated, and we begin to define ourselves based on what God says about us, based on what God is how God is loving us, and that builds us up. We don't have to go out here searching. And I believe that it truly brings us to the place where we will be more selective, because we desire more of what God has to offer. And
it's
like you said, you become conscious. So being as though that you're now conscious of, you know, what it is that you do want and what it is that you don't want, usually you will kind of begin to know certain things before you even get into them. And so the more you minister to God, he will begin to burn out those old desires. But again, it does take time. It's a process, but you have to get there, you know.
Amen.
And the thing is, how determined are you? I find the word of God is the answer to every problem. I mean, it really is.
Amen. Praise God.
His advice concerning relationships, where he's telling us about the unequally yoked piece. And again, I'm talking about, you know,
that's
those people that's already established. But, you know, everything that he says. When he's
Lady Renee, hold that thought. We have a caller. And
some
people are listening on their lunch hour.
Yes.
And I want to make sure that everybody that calls in today has an opportunity to get on the air.
Amen.
So I'm putting this call on the air. Hold that thought. We're going to get back to that. Just remember what you were saying.
Yes.
Caller 704, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hi, this is Brian Oledge.
Hello, how are you, Brian?
I'm doing good.
Praise God. Welcome to the program.
Okay, thank you. I just want to say that one thing that I've always heard, you know, people talk about it from the women, you know, point of view, but at the same time, they still negate to mention that, hey, these men that are hitting women, abusing women, you know, what is it that's going on inside their head? You know, why would a man look at a woman and disrespect her in such fashion. And in my view, I've never done that, you know, but I've talked to people who have done that because this is something that I'm strongly against.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that the men that actually go the extent, you know, they feel intimidated because, as you notice, women are getting, you know, mentally stronger and physically stronger, you know, over the past 30, 40 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, simply because men have failed to stand up and be the leaders that they're supposed to be. And not until, you know, society can retrain these men, you know, the thought that it's not okay for, you know, a woman to be a single parent. It's not okay for you to be sexually active
mm-hmm.
before you're married.
Mm-hmm.
Not until we can put these things back into school and let people realize that this is the way how a family is supposed to be. And if your union is not ordained by God, then regardless of what you say on paper, you're not married.
Mm.
You know, and not until we can teach our young men that you're supposed to respect yourself first. And if you can respect yourself first, you will never take your hand and put it on a woman.
My God. Mm-hmm.
You know, but these lessons are not even taught in most churches.
Yes, you're right.
You know, we often tend to blame the woman, oh, she said something to make him do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, if you're a man, you suppose if your woman is stronger than you, then it's an indication that something is missing from your life that you need to step up. If you feel like you're supposed to be higher than her, then step up and be higher than her. Don't try to knock her down to put her down.
Oh,
she'll know you.
Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Jesus, you're speaking.
You know, right. And not until men can learn that lesson, we will always be facing these type of situations in the home.
So from a man's point of view, Brian, what is it that makes a man even experience these shortcomings? Why are men falling short in this area where, like you said, they're the aggressors, and I guess that's that passive aggressive type thing where if I can't control her in this way, then I'll control her physically.
Right.
But what is it about men that has happened that men are not taking their rightful places and they're not standing up and being men? Because even in the churches, when you look in the church is full of women. There are not that many men in the church. And even as you look at some of the men in the church, they're not living according to the word of God. They're in the church, but the word in the church is not in them. So what's going on? What's the disconnect from a man's point of view?
Men are not being taught to be leaders anymore. You know, men are taught to be, hey, it's all about money.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible itself tells you that money is the root of all evil. And if you're chasing money, then you're chasing after something that's not good.
That's right.
And not until men can realize that, hey, I need to be the leader of my household. And in order for me to do that, I need to first respect myself, have a relationship with God so that he can teach me how to be a leader.
Uh-huh. And that's it right there, that relationship with God.
You know, it those simple words, that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people make it seem as if it's so difficult to be happy in a relationship. No, it's not. A relationship can be very easy. It can be as easy as you want it, as
uh-huh.
long as you apply God first.
Amen.
And so many of us don't do that.
Mm.
People don't do that anymore. It's okay. I want her to be this way, or he gotta be cute, or he gotta be tall, or he gotta be that. And you never hear. You rarely hear people talk about this person have to be a godly person first.
Amen.
Come on.
It's always about the physical attributes of a person or their financial capabilities.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Those seem to take the priority over the relationship that they're supposed to have with God. Because if they don't have a relationship with God, they can't have a relationship with you.
That's right. And that's one way to avoid going into an abusive relationship in the first place.
Of course.
You're looking at that man and saying, not only does he go to church, because a lot of men go to church and still abuse their wives,
but
is he godly? Is he bearing the fruit? The
Amen.
Bible tells us that a bad tree cannot bear good fruit.
Amen.
So if you're looking at his life, is he bearing that fruit? And not for appearance's sake, because Brian and Lady Renee, another thing that happens is that women get into relationships with men who appear to be godly.
Come on.
But then they get married and everything changes.
Yes.
And that man now is abusive and he's not even going to church and he's sitting on the couch drinking beer and then he wants to fight. So, I mean, what's the deal with that? How can we... help me here. We need to help our listeners. How can we avoid, as women, going into abusive relationships?
Discernment.
One of the things that I talk about in my book is taking your time to get to know the person. And a second thing is wait until you're married before committing yourself sexually.
That's good.
95%, if not more, people that are getting into relationships nowadays don't do that anymore. Even people that are in the church. They have the question is, how do I know that this person is going to be sexually compatible? You know, and I'm like, are you reading your Bible? Because even though when I wrote my book, I did not say God said this and God said that, but it was still based on the principle that you're supposed to wait until marriage before sex.
Amen.
Because if you read all 105,000 words of my book, you will not find the word God in there, because I did not. I know that some people will say, okay, well, this is coming from a religious standpoint, and I'm not a religious person, so I'm not going to read it. And there's so many people being lost out there simply because of that.
So
basically what I did, I wrote the book in a sense where everybody can apply to it, can read it and say, okay, well, you know, what the book is saying is making a lot of sense, and maybe I need to apply these lessons to my life and see what happens. And I strongly believe that if people start getting to know each other as friends first, and getting to know the intricate details of that person, then and only then they can say, okay, well, you know, sister so-and-so, no, she, you know, I've really gotten to know her as a good person and a godly person. And, you know, I think I want to, you know, get to know more about her and see how far we can take this.
Yeah.
You know, but when you meet someone for the first time, you basically don't know anything about that person, but yet you're thinking, okay, well, she looks like somebody that I could marry to. You know, and not realizing that when you approach it that way, consciously and unconsciously and subconsciously, things get lost because that person, there are conscious things that about them that they don't want to be revealed right away,
right?
Because they figure, okay, well, if you know this about me, you might not want to be with me. But if you find out about it later, you know, you might say, okay, when you see how nice I am, that might not be a problem. But if you take the time to get to know the person as a friend, you will get to see everything about that person for the simple fact that when you're getting to know, when people are getting to know each other as friends, they're not hiding anything because, hey,
I'm not
thinking about being in a lifetime relationship with this person where this person and I have to interact on a daily basis.
Yes.
On an everyday, daily basis, probably 8, 10, 15 hours a day. So it's okay for this person to see this side of me.
Amen. Amen. And I agree with that, that we do have to be friends first. And I don't want to go any further because without really finding out about your book, Brian Lynch, you're an author. This is the first time that I'm meeting you. but I see that you do have a program here on Blog Talk Radio, and your book sounds interesting. It sounds like something that the audience, especially the women who are listening, can use. So why don't you just tell us about your book?
The name of the book is The Rules to Love, R-U-L-E-S, The Rules to Love, and it talks, you know, as I said before, it talks about getting to know a person first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can hold yourself sexually
mm-hmm.
and not commit yourself sexually, because I strongly believe that once you commit yourself sexually, you're no longer trying to get to know that person. You're basically trying to see how you can make that relationship work.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
that is where it
spiritual.
Changes, because mm-hmm. it immediately after sex, it immediately changed. From
right.
trying to get to know the person to trying to see how you can make it work. So if you can hold on to your virtue and allow yourself enough time, and when I say time, I'm talking about sharing of information, because even if you know the person for 365 days and all that person know about you is your name and where you live and what color clothes you like to wear, that is not enough information.
Amen.
But
Amen.
If you can talk to that person in 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years and be able to relate the intricate details that you need to relate to that person as far as that person making an intelligent decision to be in a relationship with you, then that is what that is the time that you need to know that person. Because
yes.
everything that you think you need to know about a person, you can know by just asking a simple question. There's no need. Never make an assumption.
That's right.
Yeah.
Never
it depends.
An assumption that this person is a nice person.
Right, exactly.
Amen.
Exactly. And if you're dealing with a person, I let me just say this. You're never really going to know that person. I don't care how long you know them until
yeah.
you are married with them and living in that relationship, in that marriage, in
right.
the same house with them. Because people manage to hide stuff
yes.
from you. But one thing that you will be able to pick up if you're doing what Brian Lynch is suggesting that you do, which is being friends first, one thing that you'll be able to pick up is whether or not that person is a nice person.
That's
right.
Whether or not
yeah.
that person has abusive tendencies.
That's right. That's right. And it would also help if before that we even be selective as to who we allow in our space, period, by utilizing
yeah.
discernment. I mean,
yeah.
you know, you have to really be able to discern as a Christian person, like, because God is going to speak to your heart and let you know from the inside. You know, and like you said, some people do a great job of hiding, but the spirit of discernment, you know, I heard Mike Murdoch one day, you know, he said that the patience is the weapon for deception. Patience
Amen.
Is the weapon that will draw out deception. And like, and by Brian Lynch saying how you hold, you know, you hold yourself and you don't, you know, you don't allow yourself to get into that relationship sexually, but you're just simply sitting back, getting to know that person. As you're waiting, eventually they're going to show their hand.
And that's right, and I know that. And the phone lines are open. I'm speaking with Lady Renee and also author Brian Lynch, who's the author of The Rules to Love.
Yes.
And we're talking about being in abusive relationships. We want to the first thing that you want to do is avoid getting into an abusive relationship. So even if you're not in an abusive relationship, this program is for you, because it's going to help you to not go into that relationship. If you have a relationship with a person, or you're a friendship with a person that you might think about going to the next level with that person, you want to consider, is this person a person that loses their temper? Does this person lose his temper on a regular basis?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of relationship does he have with his mother and
mm-hmm.
the other women in his life? What are his past relationships like? Does he often often express a dislike for the female gender? You know, that's a whole nother show. I want to do a show about men on the down low and why we allow ourselves to get involved with brothers on the down low. But you want to ask yourself the relevant questions. questions before you allow yourself to even enter into a relationship with a person who's not worth your time. And I just have to put it like that.
Amen.
Because a lot of us don't love ourselves, and that's what the guest was saying, that she had to learn to love herself.
Mm-hmm.
And before we can begin to be in a relationship that's leading to marriage, because if you're in a relationship, Lady and Renee and I have already established that that relationship, if it's a romantic relationship, should be leading to marriage.
Yes.
But if you're in that type of relationship, you first have to love yourself. Because
that's
if you can't love yourself, and if you don't have a love for God, you're not going to know who to choose to be in relationship with.
Right. And, you know, even in the Word of God, in the book of Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 25, 12 or 14, the Word says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Him will he teach in the way in which he should choose." And what he's meaning there is, like, when we really reverently fear God, you know, we honor him in our choices. He will show us. He will give us the standards and the criteria to use. A lot of times people are in bad relationships and got caught up because their standards and their criteria was based on the physical and not the spiritual. In other words, the primary thing for them was what kind of car he drives, you know, what type of job he has, and all of these other things, which are good as secondary criteria, but the primary criteria is he saved? Is he rooted and grounded in the Word of God? Does he know God's purpose for his life? You know, do we complement each other based on what God is endeavoring to do in our lives? You follow what I'm saying? That needs to be primary for Christian women and men to be looking at, not the other thing, what school they came from or, you know, what type of car they're driving and their assets. All of that is fine and good, but in its proper place as secondary criteria and not the primary.
So what if I'm married? Now, what about the married woman who finds out that her husband is abusive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I guess there's really only one real solution for that. What do either one of you have to say about the married woman?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm married to this man, and he's beating me.
Oh, well, what I would say, honestly, is at least separate. Come out, pray, seek, you know, help in your area. But you have to remove yourself from that situation because you can wind up dead. And it's really bad. It's worse if you have children because your sons are watching this and they're internalizing this, that's what love is supposed to look like. And then in turn, they stand almost a 99.9% chance of turning around and doing that in their life because this is what they're watching. Or our daughters are watching this, you know, and they're seeing that, and they're thinking that that's what love is. So and even you're putting their life in danger, because I believe if the man will hit you, he will eventually begin to beat the children. So my take, Lady Renee, says get out of it and trust God from a distance. In other words, remove yourself from the situation, seek God, but remove yourself and pray and seek God for direction. You don't have to get a divorce. You know, you can trust God while you live in somewhere else to restore your marriage and fix everything. But by all means, come out of that situation because it's dangerous and your life is at stake. Now, that's my take.
That's true. And I just want to add that, you know, one of the signs that women should look for when they're dating someone, if they want to know if this person is a potential abuser, is the person willing, you know, demandingness to control every aspect of that relationship.
Mm.
You know, they want to decide,
that's good.
You know, we go out, where we eat. You know, you have no say in anything. Everything is, you know, basically directive of that person. They don't give you the opportunity. They never ask your opinion on anything.
Mm.
Or if you do, you know, give your opinion, it's always, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, your objectives are not important to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the signs that, you know, the control, this person wants control. And when it reached a point where they don't have it, they're going to take it by force. That is what leads to abuse, because if you're not giving that control willingly, and yet they're still pushing for it, then
yes.
they're going to take it by force.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting, if you're dating someone and you see they're, you know, oh, let's go here, and you said, well, no, then it's either you do what they say or they don't do it at all, then that's an indication. That is a red flag. And
yeah.
that is one of the chapters in my book. I didn't get deep into it because it was a very emotional topic for me to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And because every time I talk about this thing, it's like I get mad and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, why, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I want to ask you, Brian, since you're on the phone and you are a man, we talked about, you heard Lady Renee talk about the patterns that are repeated from childhood, that learned behavior, that dysfunction that dwells in the home of most of our parents or as we're growing up, and or even the homes of the abuser. Now, you sound like a man who's totally, I know, I hear from what I'm hearing, you're totally against abuse. Now, were you exposed to any of this, or was your home pretty solid? I don't want you to give your parents business, but, you know, is this something that you were exposed to maybe in your family that really has you on the front line speaking against it and warning women against getting into these relationships? Do you agree that if boys see their parents beating their, see their fathers beating their mothers, that they're going to repeat this? Or if girls see their mother being beaten, that they will go into relationships with men that beat them? Is this something that you have personal experience with? What makes you an expert, even in writing the book, The Rules for Love? I want to get an in-depth viewpoint of where you stand as a man.
My mother was a strong woman, so no, I was not exposed to it. But over the years, I've talked to several different women, and I basically compiled a lot of information and did a lot of research on the topic and several different relationship issues. And that is what gave me the information to write the book.
Amen.
I'm strongly against it because, you know, these abusers are wrecking a lot of homes. You know,
mm.
it's not just their homes that they're wrecking. But, you know, women, after being abused, are left, you know, stained. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're put in an emotional state where they don't even know how to trust anyone else after that.
That's right.
And I met someone that I was really in love with.
Aww.
Just because of how she was treated before, she had the resentment that, you know, I have a temper. And people always say men with temper will hit you. And I know I would never do that.
Right.
You know,
right,
my temper is something that
I
acknowledge that I have. I know I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
And I'm working on it.
And I want
but
to interject.
Think, you know, people
Brian.
Have to realize, you know, realize who they are and know when they need work.
Right.
You know, so I think when a person do that, they just naturally choose to ignore it. I don't believe that if you grow up seeing something that you necessarily have to continue that pattern. You continue
right.
that pattern by choice for the simple fact, because at some point you know it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you know it's wrong and you choose not to seek help for it,
mm-hmm.
then that's a choice. It's not something that's a part of you. Because it's anything that's wrong, the Holy Spirit naturally tells you that this is wrong and you need to stop doing it. So after that, it's a choice you make to continue this.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not saying that, you know, men that have seen this, you know, because they're exposed to it and, you know, back of their mind, they're thinking that this is normal. But after a point, they must realize that I strongly believe that there has to come a time where either something or somebody told them that, hey, this is not right. For
Amen.
The simple fact that she's crying and saying, please don't hurt me.
Mm.
You know, just that alone should register and say, you know what, this is not right.
But it becomes embedded in the person subconsciously that even though they know that it is wrong, they keep finding themselves being pulled in that direction. And the only thing that's going to really set them free is the power of God.
Amen.
That's true.
You know, but they have to allow him to do so.
Amen. And I just want to speak to both sides of that. Brian, I want to make a comment about your temper. And I agree. Just because you have a temper, that does not mean that you are going to beat your wife,
mm-hmm.
that you are going to become a batterer. But you do have the potential for it if the anger gets out of control. That's why the Bible tells us to be slow to anger.
Exactly.
So we have to, because it says that our anger does not bring about the righteous life that God requires. My husband has a temper, but his temper is submitted to the power of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And that's the difference, that he knows, like you said, Brian, you get to a point where you know that you are doing something that's wrong. And my husband said something to me last night. I did something. He didn't give me the appreciation that I wanted. And I called him on it. And that's one thing that we can do as women. You don't have to sit around and take abuse. You can call that person on the abusive behavior.
Yes.
And he didn't abuse me, but he didn't appreciate something that I did. And I said, you know, that's wrong that I did this for you and you don't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him on the carpet on it. And today he called me and said, you are right. I apologize, but this is a man who loves the Lord more than he loves anybody or anything.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that makes a difference. And then I want to speak to those people who have it ingrained within them because of something that they saw, the dysfunction of growing up, that they saw this behavior in the home and they are repeating this behavior. You do not have to stay in bondage to that thing. You can make a choice to get out. It's like any bad behavior, like both of you are saying, that we can stop it if we want to, if you have the desire. Jesus said to the man, do you want to be made whole?
That's right.
Have to know that this is dysfunction. You don't have to live like that. You're better than that. And God has a great life plan for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. But you have to receive it as with any gift.
Yes.
The gift of a good life is there for the taking.
Yes.
And just like the person who's being abused, and the person who is the batterer, they both are in the need of healing.
Yes, amen.
They're in the need of healing. So healing is only made available by the word of God and when the Holy Spirit can come in. Because this is a show where we do talk about the power of God. But
yes.
God has to be able to come in and make things right. But straight talk is this. You don't deserve to be in a relationship where you're being battered. And if you're a man listening, you know better than to put your hands on that woman and you're causing her great harm and great distress. And both of you, though you who are in that relationship and you who are being the batterer, need to stop this behavior. You need to get out. You need to stop it. And it might sound easier to say than it is to do, but women of God or women, if you're not saved, you have to make up your mind that you're better than that. You don't deserve to be somebody's punching bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then let me go back, just way back to your childhood woman who's allowing yourself to be abused in a relationship. And I want to speak to that little girl in you who maybe saw her father be her mother, or maybe you were molested. Or maybe you were raped in college. Or maybe you were date raped. You know, there are gangbangers out there who are trying to pull a train on a little girl who has fallen in love or gotten her first crush. I mean, it happened to me where these guys set me up for a train. And thank God that God was with me and none of them touched me.
Oh.
But the thing about it is that's detrimental to the mind of a young girl when she goes through some of these things that are traumatic in her childhood. I have a chapter in my book where I say, who dropped you?
Mm.
You know, Mephibosheth was dropped by his nurse and he was crippled. And the problem with a lot of us women who are going into these abusive relationships and a lot of us men, a lot of the men who are battering is that we were dropped.
Yes, come on now.
We were dropped, and just like Mephibosheth, somebody had to go back and tell him, you've been invited to sit at the table of the king. You're better than that. You're royalty. And that's what I'm saying to you, women of God. You are a queen.
Yes.
And you have to look in the mirror and stop seeing all of that ugly stuff from your past. Amen. And see yourself as the queen that you are.
Yes.
You have to see yourself as precious. You have
yes.
to see yourself as better than that. And
yes.
and I want to give you a number. If you're being abused, I want to get you some help. I want to tell you to go to RAINN.org. I list that
yes.
in the back of my book. It's the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, so it's RAINN.org, and then there's the National Domestic Violence Hotline,
mm-hmm.
and that's NDVH.org, and their number is 1-800-799-7233,
mm-hmm.
and if you're being assaulted sexually, there's another 1-800 number 1-800-656-HOPE.
Mm.
So you have to know that there is help out there and there is hope. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to speak that, and either one of you can just go ahead and say anything that's on your heart that God has put on your heart.
Yes. The thing is that we need to know that although these things do happen or has happened or have been happening, you don't have to continue to suffer like this, whether you are the person being abused or the person being the aggressor in the situation. God wants you to know today that his power is available right here and right now to set you free. All you have to do is reach out and receive that freedom. You know that you have been hurting for years, you as the batterer and you as the person being abused. You've been hurting for many years, and God wants you to know right now that he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he longs to set you free, but he needs you to surrender to him. He needs you to come to him today. He needs you to know that he loves you and that he is the only one that can fix your situation. Some of you may have to begin with forgiveness of your father for abusing your mother, forgiveness of your stepfather for abusing your mother, or for your mother allowing herself to be abused. And this way that vicious cycle will begin to lose its power and lose its grip, because a lot of times we're in bondage because we're holding on to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, just because you forgive someone, is not just for that person, it's more for you, so that you can go free, so that you release these people that you hold in hostage, and you yourself are now in turn released. And so God wants to set you all free today, and he's asking the question, will you let him in? Will you let him in? Will you let God have his way today? Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm.
Amen. I just want to add that it's important, it's imperative that you seek self first. After God, you seek self first, not a mate.
Amen.
Get in touch with who you are first.
Yes.
Because if you're not in touch with who you are and know who you are and know what you're looking for, anything that comes along will look right for you.
My God.
Yes.
And not everything that looks right is right for you.
Yes.
So get in touch with self first, know who you are, know where you're going, and know what you're looking for.
Amen.
That way when you see it, you'll know it. You won't have to guess if this is what you're looking for.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, this hour went fast, and I want to pick this up again. I want to invite you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know him, you just have to go over it. And just look in the book of Romans. Check out Romans. I believe it is chapter 10.
Yes.
Is it chapter 10?
Yes.
Verse 9, that Jesus
yes.
came and lived and died so that you could have life and have that life more abundantly. And it begins with repentance. If you repent of the way that you've been living, God can turn your whole life around. And it begins with a heart belief and a confession from your mouth to say, I believe this and I want a different life. And if you make that confession, email me at powerintheword1, that's the number 1, at yahoo.com, and I will pray with you, and I will also send you some information. I want to recommend Brian's book. I don't do this, but just from talking to him, I want to recommend the Rules to Love for every single woman and even every married woman out there. The Rules to Love. There is something in there that you need to read. And his name is Brian Murphy, and I'm going to give you his website. Brian Lynch. Brian Lynch. What is your website?
And the book is available on BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, Borderstore.com.
Oh, praise God.
And
Amen.
My personal website is V as in Victor, A-L-S-O-N-W-R-I-T-I-N-G-S. That's ValsonWritings.com.
Amen. So pick up that book. I also want to recommend The Cry of a Woman's Heart.
Yes.
The Cry of a Woman's Heart that I've written, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. And I know we're off the air, but for those who are listening on the archives, I want to say this last thing, and I pray that people come and listen to these archives so that they can get this down on the inside of them. You have to know that if you were a victim, if you suffer harm at the hands of someone else or are suffering harm at the hands of someone else, whether it was in the past, as a child, or now, you are not to blame. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. And I just want to leave you with that. We're going to pick up this topic next week. I want to talk more about what's up with abuse because I don't think we've finished with it. And, Brian, I want to thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome.
And Brian Lynch is his name. Brian, what time is your show on?
Every Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Saturday at 10.
BlogTalkRadio.com/QualityOfLife.
BlogTalkRadio.com/QualityOfLife. You want to tune in, and Brian, I'll be tuning in. Amen. And Lady Renee, I want to thank you for joining me every Thursday.
Yes.
Lady Renee has Sister Empowering Sisters. Empowering Sisters. I've been talking for an hour. I can't even get it out. Lady Renee, just give us that information.
Yes, it's right on Blog Talk Radio. Sister Empowering Sisters. I'm going to have a show this Friday, actually, at 5 p.m., and we're going to be talking about relationships, and we're talking about a relationship from a biblical perspective and relationships that's purposed toward marriage, and we're going to be talking about the foundation of a healthy relationship. I think it's a long-awaited and needed message. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God. And Brian, I want to interview you in a couple of weeks, in about 2 weeks on the show, on this show, Woman to Woman, from a man's perspective on relationships.
Okay.
Amen. 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 Praise God. So in 2 weeks, Brian, I pray that you can call in 2 weeks from today. Amen.
Okay.
I have you on my calendar.
Okay.
And I'll be contacting you. So that's it for today's edition of Woman to Woman. Thank you so much. This has been Pastor Rebecca Simmons, joined by Lady Renee and Brian Lynch, who is the author of The Rules to Love. The Rules to Love. That sounds like a powerful book.
Yes.
So I recommend it, and I also will have Brian on the show in 2 weeks. In the meantime, you remember that you're better than that. You don't have to be abused. You don't have to be abused. God has a greater plan for you. Remember that he loves you more than any man can love you, woman of God. So remember to just keep that in your heart and to receive it. And remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember, again, that God loves you. I have to repeat it, and so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace. God bless you both. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Thanks, and same to you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.